changing the subject. I am. Anna just agreed to move in. You deserve to be. I wish that were true.
Christian?
Elena's tone is chastising.
Does she know how negative you are about yourself? About all your issues?
She knows me better than anyone.
Ouch, that hurts.
It's the truth, Elena. I don't have to play games with her, and I mean it. Leave her alone.
What is her problem?
You. What we were, what we did. She doesn't understand.
Make her understand.
It's in the past, Elena, and why would I want to taint her with our fucked up relationship? She's good and sweet and innocent, and by some miracle, she loves me.
It's no miracle, Christian. Have a little faith in yourself. You really are quite a catch. I've told you often enough. And she seems lovely, too. Strong. Someone to stand up to you.
She's stronger than both of us. Elena's eyes cool. She looks thoughtful.
Don't you miss it?
What?
Your playroom.
That really is none of your fucking business.
I'm sorry.
Her sarcasm is irritating. She's anything but sorry. I think you'd better go. And please, call before you come again.
Christian, I am sorry.
She says again, sincerely this time.
Since when are you so sensitive?
Elena, we have a business relationship that has profited us both immensely. Let's keep it that way. What was between us is part of the past. Anastasia is my future, and I won't jeopardize it in any way. So cut the fucking crap.
I see.
Elena gives me a hard stare as if she's trying to get under my skin. It makes me uncomfortable. Look, I'm sorry for your trouble. Perhaps you should write it out and call their bluff.
I don't want to lose you, Christian.
I'm not yours to lose, Elena.
That's not what I meant.
What did you mean? I snap.
Look, I don't want to argue with you. Your friendship means a lot to me. I'll back off from Anastasia, but I'm here if you need me. I always will be.
Anastasia thinks that you saw me last Saturday. You called, that's all. Why did you tell her otherwise?
I wanted her to know how upset you were when she left. I don't want her to hurt you.
She knows. I've told her. Stop interfering. Honestly, you're like a mother hen. Elena laughs, but it's hollow, and I really want her to go.
I know. I'm sorry. You know I care about you. I never thought you'd end up falling in love, Christian. It's very gratifying to see, but I couldn't bear it if she hurt you.
I'll take my chances, I state wryly. Now, are you sure you don't want Welch to sniff around?
I suppose it wouldn't do any harm.
Okay, I'll call him in the morning.
Thank you, Christian. And I am sorry, I didn't mean to intrude. I'll go. Next time I'll call.
Good. I stand and she takes the hint and gets up too. We walk into the foyer and she gives me a peck on the cheek.
I'm just watching out for you, she says.
I know. Oh, and another thing, can you not gossip to my mother about my relationship with Anna?
Okay,
she says, but her mouth is pinched. She's irritated now. The elevator doors open and she steps inside. Good night.
Good night, Christian.
The doors close, and Anna's words from her email earlier today come to mind. Irritating baggage. I chuckle in spite of myself. Yes, Anna, you are so right. Anna is sitting on my bed. Her look is inscrutable. She's gone, I say, anxious about Anna's reaction. I don't know what she's thinking.
Will you tell me all about her? I am trying to understand why you think she helped you.
She glances down at her fingernails, then up at me, her eyes clear with conviction.
I loathe her, Christian. I think she did you untold damage. You have no friends. Did she keep them away from you?
Oh, Christ. I've really had enough of this. I do not need this now.
Why the fuck do you want to know about her?
We had a very long-standing affair. She beat the shit out of me often, and I fucked her in all sorts of ways you can't even imagine. End of story. She's taken aback. Eyes flashing, she tosses her hair over her shoulder.
Why are you so angry?
Because all of that shit is over! And I'm shouting. Anna looks away, her mouth a hard line. Damn it. Why am I so volatile around her? Calm down, Gray. I sit down beside her. What do you want to know?
You don't have to tell me. I don't mean to intrude.
Anastasia, it's not that. I don't like talking about this shit. I've lived in a bubble for years with nothing affecting me and not having to justify myself to anyone. She's always been there as a confidant. And now my past and my future are colliding in a way I never thought possible. I never thought I had a future with anyone, Anastasia. You give me hope and have me thinking about all sorts of possibilities. You've said you'd move in with me.
I was listening,
she whispers, and I think she's embarrassed.
What, to our conversation?
Christ, what did I say?
Yes.
Well?
She cares for you.
Yes, she does, and I for her in my own way. But it doesn't come close to how I feel about you, if that's what this is about.
I'm not jealous,
she says quickly, and tosses her hair over her shoulder again. I'm not sure I believe her.
You don't love her?
I sigh. A long time ago, I thought I loved her.
When we were in Georgia, you said you didn't love her.
That's right. She's perplexed. Oh, baby, do I have to spell it out for you? I loved you then, Anastasia. You're the only person I'd fly 3,000 miles to see. The feelings I have for you are very different from any I ever had for Elena. Anna asks me when I knew this. Ironically, it was Elena who pointed it out to me. She encouraged me to go to Georgia. Anna's expression changes. She looks wary.
So you desired her? When you were younger?
Yes. She taught me a great deal. She taught me to believe in myself.
But she also beat the shit out of you.
Yes, she did.
And you liked that?
At the time, I did.
So much that you wanted to do it to others?
Yes.
Did she help you with that?
Yes.
Did she sub for you?
Yes. Anna's shocked. Don't ask me if you don't want to know.
Do you expect me to like her?
No, though it would make my life a hell of a lot easier. I do understand your reticence.
Reticence? Jeez, Christian, if that were your son, how would you feel?
What a ridiculous question. Me, with a son? Never. I didn't have to stay with her. It was my choice too, Anastasia.
Who's Link?
Her ex-husband.
Lincoln Timber?
The very same.
And Isaac?
Her current submissive. He's in his mid-20s, Anastasia. You know, a consenting adult.
Your age,
she says. Enough, enough. Look, Anastasia, as I said to her, she's part of my past. You are my future. Don't let her come between us, please. And quite frankly, I'm really bored of this subject. I'm going to do some work. I stand and look down at her. Let it go. Please. She sticks her chin out in that obstinate way she does. I choose to ignore it. Oh, I almost forgot. I add. Your car arrived a day early. It's in the garage. Taylor has the key. Her eyes light up.
Can I drive it tomorrow?
No.
Why not?
You know why not. Leela, do I have to spell it out? And that reminds me, I continue. If you're going to leave your office, let me know. Sawyer was there watching you. It seems I can't trust you to look after yourself at all.
Seems I can't trust you either,
she says.
You could have told me Sawyer was watching me.
Do you want to fight about that too? I ask.
I wasn't aware we were fighting. I thought we were communicating.
she replies, glaring at me. I close my eyes, struggling to keep my temper. This is getting us nowhere. I have to work. I walk out, leaving her sitting on the bed before I say something I'll regret. All these questions. If she doesn't like the answers, why does she ask me? Elena is pissed too. I sit down at my desk, and already there's an email from her. From Elena Lincoln to Christian Gray, June 13th, 2011, 9:16 p.m. Tonight.
Christian, I'm sorry. I don't know what possessed me to come over. I feel that I'm losing you as a friend. That's all. I value your friendship and advice so much. I wouldn't be where I am without you. Just know that. E. Kiss. Elena Lincoln. Esclava, for the beauty that is you.
I think she's also telling me that I wouldn't be where I am without her, and that's true. She grabs a handful of my hair, tugging my head back.
What do you want to tell me?
She purrs, icy blue eyes boring into mine. I'm broken. My knees are sore. My back is covered in welts. My thighs ache. I can't take any more. And she's looking directly into my eyes, waiting. I want to leave Harvard, ma'am, I say, and it's a dark confession. Harvard had always been a goal for me, for my folks, just to show them I could do it, just to prove to them I wasn't the fuck up they thought I was.
Leave? School?
Yes, ma'am. She lets go of my hair and swings the flogger from side to side.
What will you do?
I want to start my own business. She runs a scarlet fingernail down my cheek to my mouth.
I knew something was bothering you. I always have to beat it out of you, don't I?
Yes, ma'am.
Get dressed. Let's talk about this.
I shake my head. Now is not the time to think about Elena. I turn to other emails. When I look up, it's 10:30. Anna. I've been lost in the final SIP contract. I wonder if I should make it a condition of sale to get rid of Hyde, but that might be actionable. I get up, stretch, and head into the bedroom. Anna's not there. She wasn't in the living room. I run upstairs to the submissive's room, but it's empty. Shit. Where could she be? Library? I hurtle back down the stairs. I find her curled up asleep in one of the wing-backed library chairs. She's dressed in pale pink satin, her hair spilling down over her chest. On her lap is an open book. Daphne du Maurier's Rebecca. I smile. My grandfather Theodore's family comes from Cornwall, hence my Daphne du Maurier collection. I lift Anna into my arms. Hey, you fell asleep. I couldn't find you. As I kiss her hair, she puts her arms around my neck and says something I don't understand. I carry her through to my bedroom and tuck her into bed. Sleep, baby. Softly, I kiss her forehead and head for the shower. I want to wash this day off my body. Tuesday, June 14th, 2011. Suddenly, I'm awake. My heart is pounding, and a deep unease tightens my gut. I'm lying naked beside Anna, and she's fast asleep. Lord, I envy her ability to sleep. My bedside light is still on. The clock reads 1:45, and I cannot shake my disquiet. Leela? I dart into my closet and drag on pants and a t-shirt. Back in the bedroom, I check under the bed. The balcony door is locked. I hurry down the corridor to Taylor's office. The door is open, so I knock and look in. Ryan stands, surprised to see me.
Good evening, sir.
Hi, Ryan. Everything okay?
Yes, sir. All's quiet.
Nothing on the... I point to the CCTV monitors.
Nothing, sir. The place is secure.
Reynolds just did a walkthrough. Good. Thanks.
You're welcome, Mr. Gray.
I shut his door and go into the kitchen for a glass of water. Looking out across the living room toward the windows and the darkness beyond, I take a sip. Where are you, Leela? I see her in my mind's eye, head bowed, willing, waiting, wanting. Kneeling in my playroom, asleep in her room, kneeling by my side as I work in my study. And now, for all I know, she's wandering the streets of Seattle, cold and lonely and acting crazy. Maybe I'm uneasy because Anna's agreed to move in. I can protect her, but she doesn't want that. I shake my head. Anastasia is challenging. She's very challenging. Welcome to falling in love. Flynn's words haunt me. So this is what it's like. Confusing, exhilarating, exhausting. I walk over to my grand piano and lower the top board to cover the strings as quietly as I can. I don't want to wake her. I sit down and stare at the keys. I haven't played for a few days. I place my fingers on the keys and start to play. As Chopin's Nocturne in B-flat minor quietly fills the room, I'm alone with the melancholy music, and it soothes my soul. A movement in my peripheral vision distracts me. Anna is standing in the shadows. Her eyes glint from the light in the hallway, and I continue to play. She walks toward me, dressed in the pale pink satin robe. She's stunning. A diva who stepped off the silver screen. When she reaches me, I take my hands off the keys. I want to touch her.
Why did you stop? That was lovely, she says.
Do you have any idea how desirable you look at this moment?
Come to bed,
she says. I offer her my hand, and when she takes it, I pull her into my lap and embrace her, kissing her exposed neck and tracing my lips to the pulse point at her throat. She trembles in my arms. Why do we fight? I ask, as my teeth tease her earlobe.
Because we're getting to know each other, and you're stubborn and cantankerous and moody and difficult.
She tilts her head to give me better access to her neck. I smile against her skin as I run my nose down her throat. Challenging. I'm all those things, Miss Steele. It's a wonder you put up with me. I graze her earlobe with my teeth. She lets me know it feels good. Is it always like this? I whisper against her skin. I cannot get enough of her.
I have no idea,
she says, her voice little more than a sigh. Me neither. I untie the sash on her robe and it falls open, revealing the gown beneath. It clings to her body, showing every curve, every dip, every hollow. My hand skims from her face to her breast, and her nipples harden, crowning against the satin when I circle them with my fingers. I move my hand to her waist, then to her hip. You feel so fine under this material, and I can see everything, even this. I tug gently on her pubic hair, visible as a slight mound beneath the fabric. She gasps, and I cradle her neck and coil my hand in her hair, drawing her head back. I kiss her, coaxing open her mouth and testing her tongue with mine. She moans once more, and her fingers curl around my face, stroking my stubble as her body rises beneath my touch. Gently I lift up her nightgown, enjoying the feel of rich, soft satin as it inches up her beautiful body, revealing her long, lovely legs. My hands find her ass. She's naked. I cup her in my hand, then move and run my thumbnail down the length of her inner thigh. I want her here, on my piano. Abruptly I stand, surprising Anna, and I lift her onto the piano so she's sitting on the front of the top board, her feet on the keys. Two discordant chords ring through the room as she gazes at me. Standing between her legs, I take her hands. Lie back. I ease her down onto the piano. The satin spills like fluid over the edge of the gleaming black wood and onto the keys. Once she's on her back, I let go, strip off my t-shirt, and push her legs apart. Anna's feet play a staccato melody on the low and high keys. I kiss the inside of her right knee and trail kisses and soft nips up her leg to her thigh. Her nightgown inches up, revealing more and more of my beautiful girl. She groans. She knows what I have in mind. Her feet flex and the dissonant sounds from the keys resonate through the room, an uneven accompaniment to her accelerated breathing. I reach my goal, her clitoris, and I kiss her once, relishing the jolt that shoots through her body, then I blow on her pubic hair to make a small space for my tongue. I push her knees wider and hold her in place. She's mine, exposed, at my mercy, and I love it. Slowly I start circling my tongue around her sensitive sweet spot. She cries out and I continue over and over and over while she's writhing beneath me, tilting her pelvis up for more. I don't stop. I consume her until my face is soaked. From me, from her. Her legs start to tremble.
Oh, Christian, please. Oh no, baby, not yet.
Pausing, I take a deep breath. She's laid out before me in satin, her hair spilling over the polished ebony. She's gorgeous, lit only from the reading light.
No,
she whimpers. She doesn't want me to stop. This is my revenge, Anna. Argue with me and I am going to take it out on your body somehow. I kiss her belly, feeling her muscles tighten beneath my lips.
Oh, baby, you are so ready.
My hands travel up her thighs, stroking, kneading, teasing. With my tongue, I circuit her navel while my thumbs reach the junction of her thighs.
Ah!
She lets out a gargled cry as I push one thumb inside her while the other teases her clitoris, around and around and around. She arches off the piano.
Christian!
She cries. Enough, Gray. I lift her feet off the keys and push them so she slides effortlessly over the top board. I undo my fly, grab a condom, and let my pants fall to the floor. I climb up and kneel between her legs as I put on the condom. She watches me, her expression intense and filled with longing. I crawl up her body until we are face to face. My love and desire are reflected in her dark, dark eyes.
I want you so badly,
I whisper. And slowly claim her, and ease back, and ease in. She clutches my biceps and tips her head, her mouth open wide. She's so close. I build up speed, and her legs flex beneath me, and she lets out a strangled cry as she comes, and I let go, losing myself in the woman I love. I stroke her hair as she rests her head on my chest.
Do you drink tea or coffee in the evening?
Anna asks. What a strange question.
I thought I could bring you tea in your study and then I realized I didn't know what you would like.
Oh, I see. Water or wine in the evening, Anna. Though maybe I should try tea. I move my hand from her hair to her back, stroking, touching, caressing her.
We really know very little about each other,
she whispers. I know. She doesn't know me. And when she does, she leans up, frowning.
What is it?
I wish I could tell you, but if I do, you'll leave. I cup her beautiful, sweet face. I love you, Anna Steele.
I love you too, Christian Gray. Nothing you tell me will drive me away.
We'll see, Anna. We'll see. I move her to my side, sit up and vault off the piano, and lift her down. Bed, I whisper.
Grandpa Trevion and I are picking apples.
See these red apples on this green apple tree?
I nod.
We put these here, you and me, remember? We fooled this old apple tree. It thought it would make bitter green apples, but it makes these sweet red apples. Remember.
I nod. He holds the apple to his nose and sniffs.
Smell it.
It smells of good. It smells of full. He rubs the apple against his shirt and gives it to me.
Taste it,
I take a bite. It is crunchy and yummy and apple pie. I smile. My tummy is happy. These apples are called Fuji.
Here, you want to try the green one? I don't know.
Grandpa takes a bite and his shoulders shake. He makes a yuck face.
That's nasty.
He offers it to me. He smiles. I smile and take a bite. A shiver goes from my head to my toes. Nasty. I make a yuck face too. He laughs. I laugh. We pick the red apples and put them in the bucket. We fooled the tree. It's not nasty. It's sweet. Not nasty. Sweet.
The smell is evocative. My grandfather's orchard. I open my eyes and I'm wrapped around Anna like swaddling. Her fingers are in my hair and she's smiling shyly at me.
Good morning, beautiful.
I murmur.
Good morning, beautiful yourself.
My body has another greeting in mind. I give her a swift kiss before disentangling my legs from hers. Balanced on one elbow, I look down at her. Sleep okay?
Yes, despite the interruption to my sleep last night.
You can interrupt me like that any time. I kiss her again.
How about you? Did you sleep well?
I always sleep well with you, Anastasia.
No more nightmares?
No. Only dreams. Pleasant dreams.
What are your nightmares about?
Her question catches me off guard, and suddenly I'm thinking of my 4-year-old self, helpless, lost, lonely, hurting, and filled with rage. They're flashbacks of my early childhood, or so Dr. Flynn says. Some vivid, some less so. I was a neglected, abused child. My mother didn't love me. She didn't protect me. She killed herself and abandoned me. The crack whore dead on the floor. The burn. Not the burn. No. Don't go there, Gray.
Do you wake up crying and screaming?
Anna's question brings me back, and I'm running my finger along her collarbone, keeping contact with her. My dream catcher. No, Anastasia. I've never cried, as far as I can remember. Even that evil fucking bastard couldn't make me cry.
Do you have any happy memories of your childhood?
I recall the crack whore baking. I remember the smell. A birthday cake, I think. For me.
Mommy is in the kitchen. It smells of nice. Nice and warm and chocolate. She sings. Mommy's happy song. She smiles. This is for you, maggot. For me.
And then there's Mia's arrival with my mom and dad. My mom was worried about my reaction, but I adored baby Mia immediately. My first word was Mia. I remember my first piano lesson. Miss Kathy, my tutor, was awesome. She kept horses, too.
You said your mom saved you. How?
Grace, isn't it obvious? She adopted me. I thought she was an angel when I first met her. She was dressed in white and so gentle and calm as she examined me. I'll never forget that. If she'd said no, or if Carrick had said no, fuck, I'd be dead by now. I glance at my alarm clock, 6:15. This is all a little deep for so early in the morning.
I have made a vow to get to know you better,
Anna says, looking both earnest and mischievous at once. Did you now, Miss Steele? I thought you wanted to know if I preferred coffee or tea. Anyway, I can think of one way you can get to know me. I nudge her with my erection.
I think I know you quite well enough that way.
I grin. I don't think I'll ever get to know you well enough that way. There are definite advantages to waking up beside you. I nuzzle her ear.
Don't you have to get up?
Not this morning. Only one place I want to be up right now, Miss Steele.
Christian.
I roll on top of her and grab her hands so they are above her head and kiss her throat. Oh, Miss Steele. Holding both her hands in one of mine, I skim my other hand down her body and at a leisurely pace hitch up her satin nightgown until my arousal is cradled against her sex. Oh, what I'd like to do to you, I whisper. She smiles and tilts her pelvis up to meet me. Naughty girl. First, we need a condom. I reach over to my bedside table. Anna joins me at the breakfast bar. She's wearing a light blue dress and high-heeled pumps. Again, she looks stunning. I watch her devour her breakfast. I'm relaxed, happy, even. She said she'll move in with me, and I started my day with a bang. I smirk and wonder if Anna would find that funny. She turns to me.
When am I going to meet your trainer, Claude, and put him through his paces?
Depends if you want to go to New York this weekend or not. Unless you'd like to see him early one morning this week. I'll ask Andrea to check on his schedule and get back to you.
Andrea?
My PA. She's back today. What a relief.
One of your many blondes?
She's not mine. She works for me. You're mine.
I work for you.
Oh, yes. So you do.
Maybe Claude can teach me to kickbox,
Anna says, but she's grinning like a fool, too. Clearly she wants to improve her odds against me. Now this could be interesting. Bring it on, Miss Steele. Anna takes a bite of her pancake and glances behind her.
You put the lid of the piano back up.
I closed it last night so as not to disturb you. Guess it didn't work, but I'm glad it didn't. Anna blushes. Yes, there's a lot to be said for piano sex. And sex first thing in the morning. It's great for my mood. Mrs. Jones interrupts our moment. She leans over and places a paper bag with Anna's lunch inside in front of her.
For later, Anna. Tuna okay?
Oh, yes. Thank you, Mrs. Jones.
Anna gives her a broad smile, which Gail reciprocates, and then Gail leaves the room to give us some privacy. This is new to Gail, too. It's unusual for me to have anyone here during the week. The only other time has been with Anna.
Can I ask you something?
Anna interrupts my thoughts. Of course.
And you won't be angry?
Is it about Elena?
No.
Then I won't be angry.
But I now have a supplementary question.
Oh? Which is about her? My sense of humor evaporates. What?
Why do you get so mad when I ask you about her?
Honestly, I ask.
I thought you were always honest with me.
I endeavor to be.
That sounds like a very evasive answer.
I am always honest with you, Anna. I don't want to play games. Well, not those sorts of games, I add.
What sort of games do you want to play?
Anna blinks, pretending to be clueless. Miss Steele, you are so easily distracted. She laughs, and the sight and sound of her doing so restore my good humor.
Mr. Gray, you are distracting on so many levels.
My favorite sound in the whole world is your giggle, Anastasia. Now, what was your original question?
Oh, yes. You only saw your subs on the weekends?
Yes. That's correct.
Where is she going with this? So no sex during the week.
She glances at the living room entrance. She's checking that no one can hear. I laugh. Oh, that's where we're going with this. Why do you think I work out every weekday? Today is different. Sex on a work day. Before breakfast. The last time that happened was on a desk in my study with you, Anastasia. You look very pleased with yourself, Miss Steele.
I am, Mr. Gray.
You should be. Now eat your breakfast. We ride down in the elevator with Taylor and Sawyer, and our collective good mood continues in the car. Taylor and Sawyer are up front when we set off for SIP. Yes, I could definitely get used to this. Anna is buoyant. She steals glances at me, or is it me who's stealing glances at her? Didn't you say your roommate's brother was arriving today? I ask her.
Oh, Ethan,
she exclaims.
I forgot. Oh, Christian, thank you for reminding me. I'll have to go back to the apartment.
What time?
I'm not sure what time he's arriving.
I don't want you going anywhere on your own. She gives me a pained look.
I know, she says. Will Sawyer be spying, patrolling today?
Yes. I stress the word. Leela's still out there.
If I were driving the Saab, it would be easier,
she mutters, sounding sullen. Sawyer will have a car and he can drive you to your apartment, depending on what time. I glance at Taylor in the rearview mirror. He nods. Anna sighs.
Okay, I think Ethan will probably contact me during the day. I'll let you know what the plans are then.
This arrangement leaves a great deal to chance, but I don't want an argument. I'm having too good a day. Okay. Nowhere on your own, do you understand? I waggle a finger at her.
Yes, dear,
she says, each word dripping with sarcasm. Oh, what I'd give to spank her right now. And maybe you should just use your BlackBerry. I'll email you on it. That should prevent my IT guy having a thoroughly interesting morning, okay?
Yes, Christian.
She rolls her eyes. Why, Miss Steele, I do believe you're making my palm twitch.
Oh, Mr. Gray, your perpetually twitching palm. What are we going to do with that?
I laugh. She's funny. My phone vibrates. Shit, it's Elena. What is it?
Christian, hi, it's me. I'm sorry to disturb you. I wanted to make sure you didn't call your guy. That note was from Isaac.
You're kidding.
Yes, this is so embarrassing. It was for a scene.
For a scene?
Yes, and he didn't mean 5,000 in cash.
I laugh. When did he tell you this?
This morning. I called him first thing. I told him I'd been to see you. Oh, Christian, I'm sorry.
No, don't worry. You don't have to apologize. I'm glad there's a logical explanation. It did seem a ridiculously low amount of money.
I'm mortified.
I have no doubt you've something evil and creative planned for your revenge. Poor Isaac.
Actually, he's furious with me. So I may have to make it up to him.
Good.
Anyway, thank you for listening yesterday. Talk soon.
Goodbye. I hang up and turn to Anna, who's watching me.
Who is that?
She asks. You really want to know? She shakes her head and stares out the window, the corners of her mouth turning down. Hey. I take her hand and kiss each knuckle, then take her little finger, slip it into my mouth, and suck it. Hard. Then bite down gently. She wriggles beside me and gives a nervous look to Taylor and Sawyer in the front seat. I have her attention. Don't sweat it, Anastasia. She's in the past. I plant a kiss in the center of her palm and release her hand. She opens the door and I watch her stride into SIP.
Mr. Gray, I'd like to do a sweep of Miss Steele's apartment if she's returning there today, Taylor says. And I agree, it's a good idea.
Andrea gives me a broad smile when I step out of the elevator at Gray House. A mousy-looking young woman stands beside her.
Good morning, Mr. Gray. This is Sarah Hunter. She'll be interning with us.
Sarah looks me squarely in the eye and holds out her hand.
Good morning, Mr. Gray. Pleased to meet you.
Hello, Sarah. Welcome. We exchange firm handshakes. Her grip is surprising. Not so mousy, then. I extract my hand. Could I see you in my office, Andrea?
Of course. Would you like Sarah to make you a coffee?
Yes, black, please. Sarah sashays off toward the kitchen with an enthusiasm that I hope I won't find irritating, and I hold the door to my office open for Andrea. Once she's inside, I close the door. Andrea,
Mr. Gray.
We both stop talking. Go, I say.
Mr. Gray, I just wanted to say thank you for the suite. It was gorgeous. You really didn't...
Why didn't you tell me you were getting married? I sit down at my desk. Andrea blushes. This I do not see often, and she seems at a loss for what to say. Andrea?
Well, there's a non-fraternization clause in my contract. You married someone who works here.
How the hell did she keep that to herself?
Yes, sir.
Who's the lucky guy?
Damon Parker. He works in engineering.
The Australian.
He needs a green card. He's on an H-1 visa at the moment.
I see. A marriage of convenience. For some strange reason, I'm disappointed for and in her. She sees the censure on my face and hurries on.
That's not the reason I married him. I love him,
she says in a most uncharacteristic way, and she blushes. The stain on her cheeks restores my faith in her. Well, congratulations. Here you go. I hand her the happily ever after card I signed yesterday and hope she doesn't open it in front of me. How's married life so far? I ask, to prevent her from doing just that.
I recommend it, sir.
She's glowing. I recognize that look. It's how I feel myself. And now I'm at a loss as to what to say. Andrea shifts back into work mode.
Shall we go through your schedule?
She asks. Please. Marriage. I contemplate the institution when Andrea leaves. It obviously agrees with her. It's what most women want.
Isn't it?
I wonder what Anna would do if I asked her to marry me. I shake my head, feeling ambushed by the thought. Don't be ridiculous, Gray. In my mind, I replay this morning. I could wake up every day beside Anastasia Steele, and I could close my eyes beside her every night. You're smitten, Gray. You've got it bad. Enjoy this while it lasts. I email her. From Christian Gray to Anastasia Steele. June 14th, 2011, 9:23 a.m. Sunrise. I love waking up with you in the morning. Christian Gray, completely and utterly smitten CEO. I grin when I press send. I hope she'll read this on her BlackBerry. Sarah brings me my coffee and I open the latest draft of the SIP agreement and start to read. My phone buzzes. It's a text from Elena.
Thank you for being so understanding.
I ignore it and go back to my document. When I look up, there's a response from Anna. I take a swig of coffee. From Anastasia Steele to Christian Gray. June 14th, 2011, 9:35 a.m., sundown.
Dear completely and utterly smitten, I love waking up with you too, but I love being in bed with you and in elevators and on pianos and billiard tables and boats and desks and showers and bathtubs and strange wooden crosses with shackles and four-poster beds with red satin sheets and boathouses and childhood bedrooms. Yours. Sex mad and insatiable. Kiss kiss.
Shit. Laughing and choking at the same time, I spit coffee onto my keyboard at sex mad and insatiable. I can't believe she's written that in an email. Fortunately, I have tissues left over from yesterday's coffee fiasco. From Christian Gray to Anastasia Steele. June 14th, 2011, 9:37 a.m. Wet Hardware. Dear sex mad and insatiable, I've just spat coffee all over my keyboard. I don't think that's ever happened to me before. I do admire a woman who concentrates on geography. Am I to infer you just want me for my body? Christian Gray, completely and utterly shocked CEO. I continue my read of the SIP agreement, but don't get very far before there's a new email from her. From Anastasia Steele to Christian Gray. June 14th, 2011, 9:42 a.m. giggling, and wet, too.
Dear, completely and utterly shocked. Always. I have work to do. Stop bothering me. S.M. and I. Kiss, kiss.
From Christian Grey to Anastasia Steele. June 14th, 2011, 9:50 a.m. Do I have to? Dear S.M. and I, as ever, your wish is my command. Love that you are giggling and wet. Laters, baby. Kiss. Christian Grey, completely and utterly smitten, shocked and spellbound CEO. Later, I'm in my monthly meeting with Roz and Marco, my M&A guy, and his team. We're going through a list of companies that Marco's people have identified as potential targets for takeovers. He is discussing the last on the list. They are floundering, but they have 4 patents pending, which might be useful in the fiber optic division. Has Fred reviewed them? I ask. He's excited. Marco replies with an avaricious grin. Let's do it. My phone buzzes and Anna's name flashes on my screen. Excuse me, I say as I pick up the phone. Anastasia.
Christian, Jack has asked me to get his lunch.
Lazy bastard.
So I'm going to get it. It might be handy if you gave me Sawyer's number so I don't have to bother you.
It's no bother, baby.
Are you on your own?
I look around the table. No. There are 6 people staring at me right now wondering who the hell I'm talking to. Everyone looks away.
Really?
She squeaks. Yes, really. I pause. My girlfriend. I tell the room. Roz shakes her head.
They probably all thought you were gay, you know.
I laugh as Roz and Marco exchange a look. Yeah, probably.
I'd better go.
I'll let Sawyer know. I laugh at the reactions around the table. Have you heard from your friend?
Not yet. You'll be the first to know, Mr. Grey.
Good. Laters, baby.
Bye, Christian.
I get up. I just need to make a quick call. Outside the boardroom, I call Sawyer. Mr. Grey. Anna's leaving to get some lunch. Please stick close. Yes, sir. Back in the room, the meeting is wrapping up. Roz approaches me.
Your private merger?
She says with a curious look. The very same.
No wonder you're so upbeat. I approve, she says.
I grin, feeling smug. Bastille is on fire. He's knocked me down 3 fucking times.
So Dante told me you brought a beautiful girl into the bar. This why you're soft today, Gray?
Maybe. I grin. And she needs a trainer. Your PA spoke to me this morning. I can't wait to meet her. She wants to learn to kickbox. Keep your ass in line? Yeah, something like that. I lunge for him, but he faints left, his dreads flying, and he knocks me down with a swift roundhouse kick. Shit. I'm on the floor again. Bastille's pumped up. She'll have no trouble punishing your sorry ass if you fight like this, Gray. He crows. Enough is enough. He's going down. I return to my office, showered after my bout with Bastille, and Andrea is waiting for me.
Mr. Gray, thank you. You really are too generous.
I dismiss her gratitude with a wave as I head into my office. You're welcome, Andrea. If you use it for a proper honeymoon, make sure I'm away, too. She gives me a rare smile, and I close my office door. I notice a new email from Anna when I sit down at my desk. From Anastasia Steele to Christian Grey. June 14th, 2011, 2:55 p.m. Visitors from Sunny Climes.
Dearest, completely and utterly S.S. and S., Ethan is back, and he's coming here to collect keys to the apartment. I'd really like to make sure he's settled in okay. Why don't you pick me up after work? We can go to the apartment, then we can all go out for a meal, maybe? My treat? Your Anna. Kiss. Still S.M. and I. Anastasia Steele, assistant.
She's still using her work computer. Damn it, Anna. From Christian Grey to Anastasia Steele. June 14th, 2011, 3:05 p.m., dinner out. I approve of your plan, except the part about you paying. My treat. I'll pick you up at 6 o'clock. Kiss. P.S. Why aren't you using your BlackBerry? Christian Grey, completely and utterly annoyed CEO. From Anastasia Steele to Christian Grey. June 14th, 2011, 3:11 p.m. Bossiness.
Oh, don't be so crusty and cross. It's all in code. I'll see you at 6. Anna, kiss. Anastasia Steele, assistant.
From Christian Grey to Anastasia Steele. June 14th, 2011, 3:18 p.m. Maddening woman. Crusty and cross. I'll give you crusty and cross. And look forward to it. Christian Grey, completely and utterly more annoyed but smiling for some unknown reason, CEO. From Anastasia Steele to Christian Grey. June 14th, 2011, 3:23 p.m. Promises, promises.
Bring it on, Mr. Grey. I look forward to it, too. Winky smiley face. Anna, kiss. Anastasia Steele, assistant.
Andrea buzzes me.
I have Professor Chowdhury on the phone from WSU.
The professor is the head of the Environmental Sciences Department. It's rare that he calls. Put him through. Mr. Grey, I wanted to give you some good news. Please go ahead. Professor Gravett and her team have made a breakthrough with regard to the microbes that are responsible for nitrogen fixation. I wanted to give you a heads up because she'll be presenting her findings to you on Friday.
That sounds impressive.
As you know, our research has been directed at making soils more productive, and this is a game changer.
I'm pleased to hear it.
It's thanks to you, Mr. Grey, and the funding from GEH. I look forward to hearing more about it on Friday. Good day, sir. At 5:55 p.m., I'm outside SIP's offices, in the back of the Audi, looking forward to seeing Anna. I call her. Crusty and cross here.
Well, this is sex mad and insatiable. I take it you're outside?
She answers. I am indeed, Miss Steele. Looking forward to seeing you.
Ditto, Mr. Grey. I'll be right out.
I sit and wait, reading a report on the fiber optic patents Marco was talking about earlier today. Anna appears a few minutes later. Her hair, shining in the late afternoon sun, bounces in thick waves over her shoulders as she walks toward me. My spirits lift, and I'm completely under her spell. She's everything to me. I climb out of the car to open the door for her. Miss Steele, you look as captivating as you did this morning. Embracing her, I plant a kiss on her lips.
Mr. Grey, so do you.
Let's go get your friend. I open her door, and as she climbs in, I acknowledge Sawyer, who's standing outside the SIP office, unseen by Anna. He nods and heads to the SIP parking lot. Taylor stops outside Anna's apartment, and I reach for the door handle of the Q7, but I'm stopped by the buzz of my phone. Grey. I answer, as Anna reaches for the door.
Christian.
Roz, what is it?
Something's come up. I'll go and get Ethan. I'll be 2 minutes.
Anna mouths to me as she exits the car. Hold on a moment, Roz. I watch Anna as she presses the entry phone and speaks to Ethan. The door buzzes, and in she goes. What is it, Roz?
It's Woods.
Woods.
Lucas Woods.
Oh, yes, the idiot who ran his fiber optic company into the ground and then blamed everyone else.
The same. He's doing some rather negative press.
And?
Sam is concerned about the PR fallout. Woods has gone public about the takeover. How he came in and didn't let him continue to run the company the way he wanted.
I snort my derision. There's a good reason for that. He'd be bankrupt by now if he'd continued the way he was going.
True.
Tell Sam that I know Woods sounds convincing to those who don't know his story, but those who know him realize that he reached a level beyond his ability and made some really bad decisions. He's got no one to blame but himself.
So you're not worried?
About him? No, he's a pretentious asshole. The community knows.
We could go after him for defamation, and he's breached his NDA.
Why would we do that? He's the kind that feeds off publicity. He's been given enough rope to hang himself, though he should grow some balls and let it go.
I thought you'd say that. Sam is agitated.
Sam just needs some perspective. He always overreacts to bad press. As I glance out of the window, there's a young man with a duffel bag walking with purpose toward the apartment door. Roz is continuing to talk, but I ignore her. The man looks familiar. He's sporting the beach bum look, long blonde hair, tanned. Recognition and apprehension hit me at once. It's Ethan Kavanaugh. Shit. Who let Anna into the apartment? Roz, I have to go. I bark into the phone as fear grips my chest. Anna. I fly out of the car. Taylor, follow me! I shout, and we rush toward Ethan Kavanaugh, who's about to put the key in the lock. He turns in alarm to see us barreling toward him. Kavanaugh, I'm Christian Gray. Anna's upstairs with someone who could be armed. Wait here. There's a spark of recognition in his expression, but wordlessly, confused, I think, he relinquishes hold of the key. I'm through the door and running up the stairs, taking two steps at a time. I burst into the apartment, and there they are. A face-off. Anna and Leela. And Leela's holding a gun. No. 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 A fucking gun. And Anna is here. Alone. Vulnerable. Panic and fury burst inside me. I want to lunge at Leela, take the gun, bring her down. But I freeze and check Anna. Her eyes are wide with fright and something I can't name. Compassion, maybe. But to my relief, she's unharmed. The sight of Leela is a shock. Not only does she have her fingers wrapped around a gun, but she's lost so much weight. She's filthy. Her clothes are in tatters and her clouded brown eyes are expressionless. A lump forms in my throat, and I don't know if it's fear or empathy. But my biggest concern is that she's still holding a gun with Anna in the room. Does she mean to harm her? Does she mean to harm me? Leela's eyes are on me. Her stare intensifies, no longer lifeless. She's drinking in every detail as if she can't believe I'm real. It's unnerving. But I stand my ground and return her look. Her eyelashes flutter as she collects herself, but her grip tightens around the gun. Shit. I wait, ready to pounce. My heart thumping, the metallic taste of fear in my mouth. What are you going to do, Leela? What are you going to do with that gun? She stills and lowers her head a fraction, but her eyes stay on me, gazing at me through her dark lashes. I sense a movement behind me. Taylor. I hold up my hand, warning him to be still. He's agitated, furious. I can feel it, but he doesn't move. My eyes never leave Leela. She looks like a wraith. There are dark circles beneath her eyes, her skin is translucent like parchment, and her lips are chapped and flaking. Christ, Leela, what have you done to yourself? Time passes. Seconds. Minutes. And we stare at each other. Slowly, the light in her eyes changes. The brightness increases from dull brown to hazel, and I see a flash of the Leela I knew. There's a spark of connection, a kindred spirit who enjoyed everything we shared. Our old bond. It's there. I sense it between us. She's giving this to me. Her breathing quickens and she licks her chapped lips, yet her tongue leaves no moisture. But it's enough. Enough to tell me what she needs, what she wants. She wants me. Me at what I do best. Her lips part, her chest rises and falls, and a trace of color appears in her cheeks. Her eyes brighten, her pupils enlarging. Yes, this is what she wants. to cede control. She wants a way out. She's had enough. She's weary. She's mine. Neil, I whisper, for her ears only. She drops to her knees like the natural submissive she is. Immediate. Unquestioning. Her head bowed. The gun falls from her hand and skids across the wooden floor with a clatter that breaks the silence around us. Behind me, I hear Taylor breathe a sigh of relief. And it's echoed in mine. Oh, thank God. Slowly, I move toward her and pick up the gun, slipping it into my jacket pocket. Now that she's no longer an immediate threat, I need to get Anna out of the apartment and away from her. Deep down, I know I will never forgive Leela for this. I know she's unwell, broken even. But to threaten Anna, unforgivable. I stand over Leela, putting myself between her and Anna, still not taking my eyes off Leela as she kneels with quiet grace on the floor. Anastasia, go with Taylor. I say.
Ethan?
She whispers, and there's a tremor in her voice. Downstairs, I inform her. Taylor is waiting for Anna, who doesn't move. Please, Anna, go. Anastasia, I prompt. Go. She remains rooted to the floor. I step beside Leela, and still Anna won't move. For the love of God, Anastasia, will you do as you're told for once in your life and go? Our eyes lock, and I implore her to leave. I can't do this with her here. I don't know how stable Leela is. She needs help, and she might hurt Anna. I try to convey this to Anna with my beseeching look, but she's ashen. She's in shock. Shit. She's had a fright, Gray. She can't move. Taylor, take Miss Steele downstairs, now. Taylor nods and makes a move to Anna.
Why?
Anna whispers. Go back to the apartment. I need to be alone with Leela. Please, I need you out of harm's way. She looks from me to Leela. Anna, go. Please, I need to take care of this problem. Miss Steele, Anna. Taylor holds his hand out to Anastasia. Taylor, I urge. Without hesitation, he scoops Anna into his arms and leaves the apartment. Thank fuck. I let out a deep breath and caress Leela's filthy, matted hair as the door to the apartment closes. We are on our own. I step back. Get up. Awkwardly, Leela rises to her feet, but her eyes remain on the floor. Look at me. I whisper. Slowly she lifts her head, and her pain is visible on her face. Tears spring to her eyes and start to trickle down her cheeks.
Oh, Leela.
I whisper, and I embrace her. Fuck. The smell. She stinks of poverty and neglect and homelessness. And I'm back in a small, badly lit apartment above a cheap liquor store in Detroit. She smells of him. His boots, his unwashed body, his squalor. Saliva pools in my mouth and I gag. Once. It's hard to bear. Hell. But she doesn't notice. I hold her as she weeps and weeps and weeps, snot sobbing all over my jacket. I hold her, trying not to retch, trying to banish the stench. A stench so achingly familiar and so unwelcome. Hush, I whisper. Hush. When she's gasping for air and her body is racked with dry sobs, I release her. You need a bath. Taking her hand, I lead her to Kate's bedroom in the ensuite. It's roomy, like Anna said. There's a shower, a bath, and a selection of expensive toiletries on display. I shut the door. And I'm tempted to lock it. I don't want her to run. But she stands, meek and quiet, as she shudders with each dry sob. It's okay, I murmur. I'm here. I turn on the faucet and hot water buckets into the spacious bath. I squirt some bath oil into the cascade, and soon the stifling fragrance of lilies is overcoming Leela's stench.
She begins to shiver. Do you want a bath? I ask. She looks down at the foaming suds and then at me. She nods. Can I take off your coat? She nods once more, and using only the tips of my fingers, I peel it from her body. It's beyond salvation. It'll need burning. Beneath, her clothes hang off her. She's wearing a grubby pink blouse and a pair of grungy slacks of an indeterminate color. They're also beyond rescue. Around her wrist is a tattered, soiled bandage. These clothes, they need to come off, okay? She nods, arms up. Dutifully, she complies, and I pull off her blouse and try not to register my shock at her appearance. She's emaciated, all jutting bones and pointed angles, a sharp contrast to the Leela of old. It's sickening. This is my fault. I should have found her earlier. I tug down her slacks. Step out. I hold her hand. She does, and I add her slacks to the pile of rags. She's shaking. Hey, it's okay. We're going to get you some help, okay? She nods but remains impassive. I take her hand and undo the bandage. I think it should have been changed. The smell is putrid. I retch but don't vomit. The scar on her wrist is livid but miraculously looks clean. I discard the bandage and dressing. You'll need to take those off. I'm referring to her grubby underwear. She looks at me. No, you do it, I say, and turn around to give her a modicum of privacy. I hear her move, a scraping of her flats on the bathroom floor, and when she stops, I turn around, and she's naked. Gone are her lush curves. She must not have eaten for weeks. It's galling. Here. I give her my hand, which she takes, and with the other I test the temperature of the water. It's hot, but not too hot. Get in. She steps into the bath and slowly sinks into the foaming, fragrant water. I strip off my jacket and roll up the sleeves of my shirt and sit down on the floor beside the bath. She turns her small, sad face toward me but remains mute. I reach across for the body wash and a nylon scrubber that Kavanaugh must use. Well, she won't miss it. I spy another on the shelf. Hand, I say.